Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
This weekend was the darkest weekend I can remember in a very long time for LSU football. I think most of you that have a heart has gotten teary-eyed after everything that went down on Friday, and honestly, everything that's went down over the past 6 months. I promise we'll talk LSU South Carolina, but there are bigger things that happen in life. And these stories do indeed happen. And I do want to share quite a few things about Kyren Lacy. And I think every single one of you have formed your own opinion. And I really don't even think there is an opinion other than what happened is really, really, really terrible. And it goes way beyond sports. I hope Kyren's family gets justice. I am very fortunate to have developed a relationship with someone in Kyren's circle. And, this is tough. This is brutal. Anything that happens will not bring Kyren back to this earth, unfortunately. And his great NFL career was ended all based on a lie. And it's quite possibly the saddest LSU football story of all time. And it's terrible. I wish there was something I could have done. I wish. I really do. And it's just tough. It's really tough, man. It's really tough. I feel it's really, really, really hard. And, you know, I care so much. I really do care so much about every single player that plays for LSU football. And, you know, this was this man's life, his life. And, I remember when the first story broke, it was the lowest moment of my life. My father-in-law passed around that time, and I'll never forget it when it was such a thing. And I like Kyren so much. I love Kyren. And when that story broke, it just made that week so tough, and the fact that it was all one big lie. And I hate that. I really, really, really do. So there is a link. I believe it is Kyren's Foundation, if you want to make a donation to his family, the K2 Foundation. From this point forward, we all need to be skeptical of everything that we read, and it makes you wonder what are we to do as a society when these things happen. So I am going to use my platform for good to once again bring up that we need to heavily look into policing in this country. We've always needed to do that. That is not a political statement whatsoever. And yeah, I I'm so heartbroken. I'm so heartbroken. There's so many great Kyren moments. Obviously, you know, we think of the Ole Miss moment. To me, I don't do a whole lot of shorts, but one of my favorite Kyren moments was a big block he made as a role player in the road victory versus Missouri. And yeah, I just hate that this happened. I really, really, really do. And I'm trying not to cry. I teared up a little bit. I try to let this be an escape, but I needed to share what I needed to share here. I hope everyone in sports media takes a good, long, hard look in the mirror. I hope everyone that serves our police force, that works in law, that all of us that works in the court of public opinion really looks into this. I hate this for all of Kyren's teammates in particular. I am just a big fan. I was just a big fan of his. That was it. I'm blessed to have met this member, and I've not met them personally. As you guys know, there's plenty of family members that do watch our channel, and this member became someone that reached out to me, and I developed a relationship with them. I was able to text back and forth with him yesterday, and they are distraught. There's no other way around it. You know, we were able to, you know, joke and all that for a little bit, but their baby will never, never, ever, ever walk the face of the earth again. And it tears me, man. It really fucking does. It really does. I did not sleep Friday night. I was able to call a football game in Carius Kern's hometown, where he played high school football. And it was a 4.5-hour drive there and drive back. I didn't drive. I just went with my broadcast crew. And just seeing all of that just enrages me. It enrages me. It should enrage you. And it's important to if you are not black, it's important to put yourself into the shoes of what Kyren went through, a system that worked against him, and he was innocent. He was innocent. I do not, off the top of my head, remember the law firm or the lawyer. To you, I give you all the credit in the world, speaking at Kyren's memorial, saying that you were going to bring him justice. So there you go. We move on. I try to move on. God, dude. It hurts. Once again, the link to his foundation is down below. Okay. My favorite Kyren moment, will forever seeing him hype up Jaden and Malik after the draft. Yeah, you know, there's so many big Kyren moments, you know, and it was, the celebrations were great. There was the holding penalty for Malik's record that he felt terrible about, that just told you everything about his character. So, yeah, there's also, some other things behind the scenes surrounding Kyren that I'll one day reveal, but I won't do it. And it does slightly involve me. I was just a small piece in this. But I will also tell you, I've never spoken to Kyren's parents. And if you were to see this, just know that we love you and that I'm praying for you. I've never prayed for one LSU player more than I have prayed for Kyren's family in particular, and Kyren himself. It's a sucky situation to be all around. And look, I'll get a sip of water, and then we'll get into LSU South Carolina. Matt Ory. Yes, that's his name. You know, I don't know. I think it is a little bit different because I'm not a parent, but if you're a parent, this also hits you a little bit different as well. Jay, good to see you. And yeah, you know, this is part of the story, and this is not, you know, I just don't even know where to begin with that. But you are correct. And I'm not smart enough to fix it, and but it needs to be fixed. And I do think if there is a positive, stories like this will help bring more to the conversation regarding this. But literally, lives were ruined. Lives were ruined. And yeah, it sucks. It really, really, really sucks. Okay. Now, we move on. Kevin says the bye week is over. It was a long bye week for a lot of different reasons. But there you go. Last thing on the Kyren thing, and I promise I'll move on. We don't beat South Carolina last year without him. I mean, he was so big in that game, but in particular to his teammates, a lot of which who are not playing at LSU anymore. Kudos to you guys. Kudos to you guys. Now, God, man. And honestly, I will share this. PHL's not going anywhere. But this, in the grand scheme of things, means a lot. I'm talking about football in particular, the games themselves and all that stuff. But sometimes personally, I feel like I am not doing enough. And I feel like we aren't doing enough as a society to make life better. Okay. And I understand I do not paint myself as someone who is necessarily here to do that in a way that actually creates meaningful change for everyone. I am an entertainer, if you will. Okay. And my job is social media and making stuff work and being an escape and, you know, building what we can build here. Look, I'm so distraught. I put up the wrong thing. But it does make you feel at times that I am not doing what I need to do to make the world a better place. So it anytime something like this happens, you really begin to your eyes really do begin to open. Okay. You know, friend of the channel, Van Lathan, had some good comments on this on Ringer Tailgate. You can check it out for yourself on Instagram. I've talked to quite a few people about this privately before I went live. Ant Marshall of No Chill Sports has become one of my closest friends. Tulane 2X Carter is his name on Twitter. I talked to him as well. And just everyone. I appreciate everyone like retweeting all that stuff, talking about it. I'm just glad that there is a conversation. Now, I do move on. But yes, please pray. Now, I want to talk about South Carolina. I cannot state this enough. This is a good team, South Carolina. One thing from the get-go that stands out to me is that the narrative surrounding LSU and South Carolina was so high after what actually transpired in week one. South Carolina, big neutral site victory over Virginia Tech, and they mostly looked good. Then you had a huge game from LSU over Clemson. And since then, both teams have looked really shaky. South Carolina, of course, has lost twice since then. They were blown out by Vanderbilt. Of course, Lenora Sellers got hurt in that game. And, of course, Vanderbilt is a good team. And then they also lost by two possessions on the road versus Missouri, which is also a difficult place to play. LSU, of course, has also lost. But the first thing that really stands out to me about both of these teams is LSU is the home team. The home team and home field advantage in the SEC matters so much. We have seen it throughout college football. One of my biggest plays over the weekend, and if you don't mind, I will call him out here. John Sibley Butler called me last week and said, Carter, Texas is in a lot of trouble. All right. Nobody on this channel knows Texas Longhorns football like John Sibley Butler. He called me, and normally Sibley is calling me about like stuff, like really, 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 really high level stuff. But this was just him giving his opinion. He's like, Carter, I don't have much time to talk. I just want to let you know that Texas is running into a buzzsaw. And so I gave this play out last Thursday. I bet Florida to win outright because the swamp is that difficult of a place to play. And we've seen throughout the SEC this year, teams that go on the road do not perform well. Our defense on the road versus Ole Miss, this was our first real road SEC test. Our first real road test, because while Clemson was played on the road, that was played with so many months of preparation. Ole Miss, this was a true road game at the end of five games. Now, South Carolina will be coming off a bye. LSU, of course, will also be coming off a bye. But the truth is, LSU is in a spot where they will be heavily served by playing in front of their own home crowd. The second thing that LSU has going into their favor is I'm very happy that Trinidad Chambliss was able to run on us some, okay? This was a minor win for me because I wanted there to be a game where a quarterback with mobility really ran on us some, because Chambliss, while he is a good runner, he's probably not a top five runner in the SEC this year. We are going up against the best. Lenore Sellers, at his peak rushing ability, is a mixture of Cam Newton's power and Jaden Daniels' speed. Now, he's not quite to the level of Cam Newton's power or Jaden Daniels' speed, but he's right under there, and it is really difficult to stop. This is the hardest quarterback in the SEC to sack. So I am glad that Chambliss ran on us some for us to really hammer home how important it is to maintain pass rush lane integrity. Then, of course, the next thing that you get into is South Carolina does not have good receivers. This is a really good advantage for LSU because they went up against an Ole Miss team that has had really, really, really good wide receiver play. And, well, we'll break down South Carolina's receivers as the week moves on. Nicholas Harbor, of course, is arguably the most athletic wide receiver we have seen in college football. He really is that big of a freak when you factor in the size and the speed and all of that. But he's basically Xavier Leggett, right? He's not really that polished of a receiver. And then when you go up against a corner like Mansoor Delane, who is a technician, you should feel pretty good about LSU's DBs going up against Sellers. And then, of course, you go to the defensive side of the football. It starts and ends with Dylan Stewart. He's arguably the best pass rushing end in all of college football. Now, the first thing you look for, and the first thing we always do when we do a matchup here, what do the yard per play numbers say about South Carolina? Well, the first thing that really stands out to me, and you normally don't associate this with South Carolina, is that they defensively, and this is their offensive stats. I want to go, actually, we could start with offense here. You could see that they are averaging 5.56 yards per play. South Carolina, 5.56 yards per play. Who have they played up to this point? Well, Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky. These numbers don't paint a fair light to the South Carolina team, though, because they did not have their quarterback for most of the Vanderbilt game. And then, of course, they were at Missouri, which is a very difficult place to play. And on top of that, you can see that South Carolina is the only SEC team up to this point to have played four Power Four teams in the first 6 weeks of the season. So that is a really high number. As you can see, Alabama has as well, but we have not played Alabama yet. So four Power Four teams up to this point. The only thing is, how many of those Power Four teams are actually good? The only one I would consider to be good that they have played up to this point is Missouri and Vanderbilt. We'll give Vanderbilt that. I do think Vanderbilt is still a little overvalued. Okay, let's go to their defense. And defensively, of course, South Carolina, well, this is just a good group. That's all there is to it. 4.99 yards per play up to this point in the season defensively. That's slightly better than us in Power Four competition. Once again, we're talking about a really small sample size. You want to factor in the whole season. LSU becomes better at 4.61 yards per play compared to South Carolina's 4.87. So this is a good defense, and this is a good team. And then we get to me, the most uncomfortable truth about South Carolina versus LSU. South Carolina would have felt that they would have won the game last season if Lenore Sellers did not go out of that game. What I would say is, over the past couple of seasons, there's not many people in the SEC who have been better between this, the headsets, than Shane Beamer. He has been that good. He squeezes a lot out of his team. Now, that's a pause. That's a big pause. But to use a better example, he squeezes a lot of juice out of the orange, if you will. Then you get to Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, of course, a lot of you feel that we have underperformed since starting off in 2022 with an SEC championship appearance. We have far underperformed our expectations. And between the headsets, Brian Kelly has not done the best job. So does South Carolina actually have a coaching advantage in this game? Well, I think most would say that the defensive coordinators in this game are good. You have Blake Baker, and then, of course, you have Charleston White. But the offensive play calling, I said Charleston White. That's not his name. That's the name of the commentator. Why am I drawing a blank? Clayton White. Excuse me. Clayton White. I nearly cried earlier on this live stream, so my mind is all over the place. But Clayton White's a good defense coordinator. I know he's taken a lot of heat at South Carolina, but it's South Carolina, right? You're not ever going to have the elite athletes, but you're going to have good athletes. South Carolina is always in that 20-ish, teen-ish ranking when it comes to recruiting. So a very experienced defense coordinator. And then the offensive play calling for both teams is not been well received. You have a guy in Shula for South Carolina who's older and many feel are like over the hill. And then you have, of course, LSU with Joe Sloan. They feel he's too young and not experienced enough. So it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Okay. But does LSU actually have a coaching advantage in this game? I think at home, they do. But Shane Beamer, I have a lot of respect for Shane Beamer. I really, really, really do. And I think Auburn made a mistake not going after him during their last opening. Okay? So, there you go. Now, the next thing, and I feel it is very, very, very important. We get to the quarterback position. Now, look, we are 25 minutes into this. I wanted to save what I wanted to share about Garrett Nussmeier until this portion, because it's been such a Nuss-heavy week with our live stream last Sunday. Then Tuesday was the Michael Van Buren update, and then Wednesday, it was Garrett. Was he ready? Thursday, we really won't know anything until Brian Kelly's Monday press conference. But do you think Garrett Nussmeier should start versus South Carolina? Okay. I will tell you what I know, per se, about the practices and what I know about Michael Van Buren's reps. And I'll give you my honest opinion of what needs to happen versus a Gamecock.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. Alrighty. I do believe Garrett Nussmeier will be the quarterback that plays versus South Carolina. And I do think Michael Van Buren should start. And this is why. I am of the belief that Garrett, with the deep ball issues, is really holding back this offense. Injuries or not, it's holding us back. We are leaving a lot of points on the field, and we're also taking points off the board, right? I feel when I say leaving points on the field, that means you're overthrowing receivers and you're missing these deep shots that can really swing the outcomes of games. And then taking points off the board more so references the red zone turnovers. Okay, I'm not going to get too filmy. You can watch all our film reviews over the past week. And then, of course, with Michael Van Buren, South Carolina has no tape on him. What the tape shows versus Southeastern is nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, of course, they have a year's worth of tape with Michael Van Buren last year, but they really don't know. And then, of course, The Aaron Anderson conversation this week should be interesting. Garrett is just not the same guy without Mason Taylor, Aaron Anderson, and let's be honest. We thought going into the season we wouldn't miss Kyren as much as we would have. We've missed him dearly, okay? You know, there were times where Garrett just locked in so much on Kyren that it was a detriment to the offense. But Kyren was a true alpha outside X wide receiver that was also very good in the slot, okay? So, you know, we're missing some of that. And some of that isn't all on Garrett or the offense or the receivers. It's just a disaster. So, yes, I would heavily consider starting Michael Van Buren. But this isn't a heavily consider type of thing. It's I got to be honest. I think you should do it. Now, the good thing is for the first time in a couple of seasons, Garrett's role has finally been pushed. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's go all the way back to 2022. Going into the 2022 season at LSU, where Garrett showed some of the best grit you will ever see from any quarterback that has played at LSU. He, as in Garrett, walked into a room where he was the heavy favorite to transfer. Jaden Daniels had just come in. A new coaching staff had just come in. Miles Brennan was miraculously brought back. And then Walker Howard was the story. And what happened? Garrett beat out the two backups and won that job. And he was solid as the QB2 in 2022. With no QB close to him as the QB3. Then going into 2023. Garrett was by far the best backup quarterback in college football. Then, of course, going into 2024, Garrett was by far the starter. And it never got so rancid to this point that Garrett's role was being questioned. There is nothing in life as a football player that sucks worse than when you are being questioned as a player. Your role, your snap share. And I do think that humbles you. You really do need to buckle your chin strap tighter and say, what the hell do I need to do to let the world know that this is my job? I need to show the world something. So it does add a little bit of a pep to your step. And I said this multiple times watching the Louisiana Tech game. Garrett was casual. In that game, you cannot be casual. It's not something that you can just come in and turn on and off. And look, Garrett knows this. He has got to play better. He has got to play better. And I'll say it. I was very high on Garrett Nussmeier going into this season. And he's not played well. Now, this is something else about Van Buren. Is that he does have some mobility. But he does have a tendency to get a lot of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. We've not really seen him versus real competition outside of what he did last year versus Mississippi State. And the tape was mostly good for me, especially if you grade on a scale of a true freshman playing the hardest schedule I've ever seen a quarterback play, which is what he did, you know, right into the face of everything. Now, obviously, we probably didn't recognize it at the time, but he did throw to a really elite group of wide receivers, probably the most underrated wide receiver duo in the SEC. Mario Craver, now with Texas A&M, is the best receiver outside of Chris Braswell probably right now in the SEC. statistically, that is. I would take Kim Coleman over any of them, but Kevin Coleman is also really good. He was the actual number one, and he's had a really good season with Missouri. So, you know, that helped Van Buren last year because he was thrown to some absolute monsters to the outside. This is a different situation where LSU has a very talented wide receiver room, but it's different. It's a lot more multiple. It's a lot of different guys mixed in there. So, you know, you also got to be careful with the backup quarterback thing is the best thing. We all fall in love with the backup quarterback. So, you know, if you were to ask me today, if the game was being played tomorrow, I would probably start MVB. I probably will. But I do think Garrett's going to start versus South Carolina. I do. It could be, and that's not really information. This is just my best educated guess. I will also say this, and this isn't out of the ordinary. When it comes to QB health, there's so much stuff that's out there. Because QB health is the one thing that could really move lines. Now, you look at the line, LSU is favored by 9.5 versus South Carolina. Pretty big number. We said the same about Florida. LSU was able to cover. And now it's 9.5. The over-under was set at 41. It's already up to 44. That sounds like something, but 41 is such a low over-under. I tweeted that out immediately. I was like, I might go bet the over. And then it's already going up. So that lets me know I was on the right side of that. Now, that's the biggest story. What is LSU going to do at quarterback? Brambo says, absolutely, the Nuss Bus. Jared says, I need labor therapy. L-A-B-O-R-D-E. Not E-D. But I understand the autocorrect. It's gotten me a few times as well. Oh, Jared started getting some bot action. I'm sorry I opened you up to the bots of the world, J-Red. Another J-Red, but this is Gerard Guillory. Or is it Jared Guillory? I should have asked you. You've been a fan of the channel. Back to our Eli Ricks debates. I remember that. QB1 of the 90th ranked putrid offense. Kobe! Say, bruh. Welcome to the channel. Long live K2. Let's go. Let's go to Sibley. Carter, Trinidad Chambliss. Outplayed Garrett Nussmeier, DJ Lagway, outplayed Arch Simpson, outplayed by Castellanos. Bama stuck with Simpson, and he's balling. Nuss starts and relieved after first quarter if he doesn't perform. Best strategy. Well, I will say this. I do believe giving Garrett a long leash, because this is his team, per se. We built this entire roster with Garrett as the centerpiece. And because of what you said about Ty Simpson, sure. But you do have the health aspect of this. All right? God, there's so many reports out there. Garrett's not fully healthy. He is fully healthy. What do we do now? Well, he was on a pitch count, which means his snaps were monitored. We also know that there was some type of leg injury that happened before the season. So the truth is there is probably a mixture of injuries that has affected Garrett. It has shown up in his throwing form. And when I do film studies, I always tell you QB mechanics is very trivial. All right. There's been a lot of changes in quarterback mechanics. And I do think this is a different topic, but I become friends with one of the biggest Oklahoma sports media people. And he watches my Oklahoma film studies every week. And their quarterback, Michael Van Buren, has a complete sidearm delivery. He looks more like a third baseman than he does an actual quarterback. And it's ass. It is the worst thing I have ever seen. So quarterback mechanics is very weird. Garrett has some of the best QB mechanics you will see. I have watched him make every throw he has made up to LSU up to this point in his career. What we saw versus Ole Miss is not how Garrett throws the football. And the only way to really describe it is there's something wrong, right? That's the only way, unless what would be even worse is he's lacked all confidence. Some quarterbacks shrivel. It's a mental thing, which I don't think that is the case. I don't. So, yeah, I think, you know, after one quarter is tight, you want to make a halftime change? Sure. Sure. I will say this, though. If, and you can't really put this together because you honestly would need to speculate how the half would have actually played out. But, oh, look at you. Yeah, it's a Taylor Swift story. You want to show people? No, you can't interrupt a stream without showing. You've not been on a stream in a while. Go on ahead. Taylor drops her most mid album ever, and she still stands right here.
Don't even. Do not.
It was mid. It was mid.
Don't even know music if it slapped you in the face.
It was mid.
Do not say that. This is her best one yet. She's in love with Travis Kelce. All these little girls are mad because she's making songs that are not sad, blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know what? You don't know a thing.
You don't have a mic. You sound like the teacher off Charlie Brown. The album's down. It's not great.
You don't know her music like I do. You know what?
I've listened to every track. I've listened to every track.
No. Other supportive Swiftie husbands, as you should be, because you wanted to go see her too. Let the audience know, okay? Do I need to show you the TikTok?
No, I don't want to see. I don't want to see that.
Ask it for his wife on
TikTok. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
On Friday. I 10 days.
No.
Okay. That is fighting words, girl.
Type Y for yes, type N for no if you think the new Taylor Swift album was fire.
It's fire. Tell him to go listen to Opalite. Tell him to go listen to Wood.
Wood? I will Wood. Speaking of Wood.
Don't call my mom.
Benny thinks the album was fire.
Thank you, Benny.
Benny's with you.
Thank you. And look at how sparkly. And I have
I should have had the mic plugged in.
Oh, well, that was rude. That you didn't.
Benny says Honey is the best track.
Honey is so good. Honey is so, so good. Actually, Ruin the Friendship and Canceled is good as well. Canceled's about Charlie X.
All right.
Do you want the forlorn now or later?
Later.
Okay.
All right. Let's be honest. Garrett regrets. You can't tell me otherwise because he's been throwing like that from Clemson to Ole Miss. He's throwing like that versus Southeastern, and he was underthrowing badly. Okay. Now, let's go to Darren. Oh, yeah. Well, I did 20 minutes on Kyren to start, and every time I think about it, I start tearing up. But yeah, if the chat wants to, we can get back into the Kyren conversation, which is very complex, and it should anger you. It should fire you up to have some real conversations that are actually important. But Alice in Chains, there you go. Let's go to the offensive line conversation. And welcome to the channel, Tennis Girl. Good to see you. You could be our Coco Golf of the conversation. Our Martina Navratilova. Obviously, Serena and Venus. That's just too obvious of a tennis girl. What about how about some Martina Hingis? How about that? Let's talk about the offensive line. I do think Kerryius Kern is going to remain involved, even if we do see Weston Davis back. I do think you can't really put the genie back into the bottle with Kerryius Kern because he did do some really good things. And, you know, I also want us to maintain a big picture look at what our offensive line could look like next year. And there is a deeper conversation of getting Kerryius Kern game reps and him being a cornerstone piece for our offensive line moving forward. You know, I shared during the Kyren convo earlier that on Friday night, I called a high school football game in Kerryius Kern's high school alma mater in Marion, Arkansas. And, you know, I asked a few folks from Marion about Kerryius, and they said, dude, his high school games were movies, basically. And it's truly incredible that on such short notice, he's thrown into the fire as a starting offensive tackle in the SEC. And even Brian Kelly brought this up in the media conference earlier this week, that Kerryius Kern is going down the same lane as Emory Jones. Emory Jones was mostly viewed as an offensive guard, even though he played offensive tackle in high school, and both were thrust into the starting lineup versus a Mississippi school as true freshmen at right tackle, even though we're mostly looking at them as guards. So LSU is probably wondering, hey, Emory Jones is probably viewed in the NFL more as a guard. We'll see what the Ravens elect to do. And what we need to do is ask ourselves, what is Kerryius Kern's best position? So I do think LSU is going to have a long conversation this week about keeping Kerryius Kern involved in this offensive line. Then you need to have a very strong conversation about what you want to do at your offensive guard positions right now. I think we all agree that it would probably not be smart to make any drastic change at left tackle. Tyree Adams should remain our left tackle. And obviously we're not changing the center position. So what do we do about offensive guard? Do we think about trying Kerryius Kern at right guard, where Josh Thompson has been very inconsistent? To me, left guard has been way worse than right guard. right guard has also not been good, but left guard, for me, has been way worse. Just depends on your definition of way worse. But honestly, both of the jobs there should be open. Should be open for business. Do you seriously think about trying DJ Chester as an every down left guard? Cohen Echols was horrendous versus Ole Miss. Paul Mbenga was horrendous versus Ole Miss. And both of them have mostly not been great. Mbenga's not been as bad as he was last year, but you know, it's not really saying a whole lot. It's really hard. It's really hard. Okay. So for me at this juncture, I do think it would be a disservice to the LSU team to not think about at least one change on the offensive line at offensive guard. I think you need to do something there just to see if it sparks your offense. Now, something else that probably needed to be done during the bye week, and Jared's dropping all kinds of super chats, which is great. One thing that probably needed to be done from the offensive brain trust aspect of this is they should have been coming up with as many plays as they possibly can where the offensive line has very little effect on the play's outcome. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's take our bread and butter play call. It's outside zone. That is our bread and butter play call. I have said repeatedly that if I were an offensive coordinator, I would base my entire offense out of outside zone. That's how much I love that run concept. It's what the best offensive brain trust in the NFL does. The Shanahan tree. They base everything out of outside zone. Now, they evolve. They do a lot more duo and all that stuff. But I love outside zone. We cannot run it. We cannot run it. We don't have the dudes to do it. We just don't. And I also, with that outside zone thought process, believe it's better if you do some of it under center. So we try to work around that with doing it at a pistol. It's too obvious when we do it, and we just don't have the guys to do it. It is a failure. We cannot do it. Cannot do it. Also, outside zone requires the running back to really be able to process information quickly. Okay. This isn't really a football IQ thing either. It's just you got to read out the blocks and figure out what you want to do quickly. Okay. I would have just thought of something else to try and run to get the run game going outside of outside zone. And if it were to work versus South Carolina, it would be a miracle. It would be a miracle. So, what do? Well, you try something else. You try something else. And what the best play callers in the SEC do is they make life easier on their offensive line. Call run plays where the design of the run requires offensive linemen to not even complete a single block for the play to be successful. And there are plenty of run designs that actually have that built in. You look at some of the runs that we have done this year that have actually worked. A lot of them have been reverses with Berrion Brown. Offensive line doesn't need to complete a single block for that to work. It's the misdirection of it. And even when you think of the biggest, most powerful program in the SEC, the best offensive line program in the SEC over the past couple of seasons has been Georgia. They have been the best. Georgia's offense, one that I have studied on Power Hour SEC. I've done so many film studies on Georgia. Georgia, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas. Those are the four schools I spend more time on Power Hour SEC than any other school. Georgia's offense is a misdirection offense. It is a smoke and mirrors misdirection offense. Now, that does not mean they're still not powerful and they don't pile drive people to the ground. That's still a piece of what Georgia does in their run game. But this has been the shakiest Georgia offensive line with injuries and young guys playing, and they're still able to run the ball. They could still do it. Now, not at the level that we normally associate with Georgia, but they're still able to do it some. We can't do it at all. So, what can we do? What can we do? Well, I would heavily consider trying more counter. Something else that was a crime against humanity. The best run design that we had for a few weeks now are these quick pitches to the same side of the running back. So you're in shotgun, quick pitch. We're able to get to the edge, get numbers, and pick up nice gains. It worked. Didn't do it once versus Ole Miss. And I'll be honest with you. I'm a big believer in delivering promises. I was already sad enough over the weekend after one of the worst stories. I could say this is the worst story that's ever happened in LSU football. The Kyren Lacy situation. I don't know if I can get through cutting another film study from the Ole Miss game because there's just so much stuff in the second half in particular that just continue to grind my gears. And honestly, what I would have done if I were BK was to call as many people as he possibly could in his Rolodex of contacts and say, give me the play calls that require our offensive line to do basically nothing. So let's go back to the Clemson game. What was the Clemson game? Screens. That's all it was. Screens. Misdirection. Screens. Quick stuff. Numbers advantages. Read the numbers. Throw it. Screens won us that game. Getting the football out quickly. So, what we're trying to do is get vertical. We're trying to run very complex, deep stuff. Some of which on second and long, we cannot protect for that long. And then at the same time, we don't have a quarterback who can make those throws right now. It's a problem. It is a major, major, major problem. Jared, thank you for the super chat and thank you for the membership. I should know. I don't know how the membership gifting actually works. Oh, so AP got it? AP got the membership? Let's go, AP. American Patriot, one of my favorite viewers, man. Freaking love him. Now, I do want to bring this up because I'm an unabashed, and it's gotten to be really bad where I'm like saying some irresponsible things now, but I do think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFL. He is the best. If anyone watched that Chargers game today, it's hard to not come to that conclusion where you're on the road, you're as many time zones over as you possibly could outside of, you know, going to London, and he put on a show. Put on a show. Down 10-0, no problem. And I factor in cost when it comes to quarterback analysis. Jaden is also ridiculously cheap as a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. So I'm so glad he's back. I love doing his film studies on Power Hour NFL, if that is what interests you. I also want to share that, you know, LSU players in the NFL are miracles. Every single player that plays in the NFL is a miracle. Okay, you've got to be ridiculously lucky. There's so much stuff that can go wrong before you actually get to the NFL. So, and I tweeted this out because someone asked me, hey, who do you cheer for in the NFL? The Saints is who I cheer for. But almost as much as the Saints, I cheer for anyone that's played at LSU that's gone on to the NFL. It's that freaking hard. It is so hard. The guys are so good there in the NFL. All of them are good. All of them. All of them. Jaden is so good. He's so freaking good at football. So that made me happier. And then at the same time, the Bengals were playing. And then it made me sad, even though Ja'Marr Chase still balled out of control. Also, really briefly on the Saints, congrats on the W. It makes it that much better that Lane Kiffin was at the game and he watched his dear beloved Jackson Dart lose, fumbled on his own accord. Shout out to Spencer Rattler, who has taken more heat than Garrett Nussmeier, and he finally gets a win. I know that felt good for Spencer. And I myself have been a big Spencer critic, but the one thing you cannot say about Spencer Rattler is that he's not ever really played bad this year. He's just a backup quality player in the NFL. How I would describe him is he is one of the 40 best quarterbacks on the planet right now. Okay? There's only 32 of these jobs. He's probably number 37 or 38. So, shout out to Spencer. He's played very solid up to this point and very happy for the Saints to get the dub. Brian says, I believe Lenore Sellers is the next Jaden Daniels. No, not close. Not close. As a runner, he's close. But Jaden is still, and the biggest, this is the biggest crime against Jaden. And it's not really a crime. It's just something, right? The runs are so unfreaking believably unique and explosive that it takes away from the fact that Jaden is the highest graded deep ball thrower in the history of Pro Football Focus at the collegiate level. His Heisman Trophy season was the best deep ball charting season ever at Pro Football Focus. The best. It's never been better. And he's still a really good deep ball thrower in the NFL. Took a little while for that thing to get calibrated last year, but man, he's only getting better. He is only getting better. Sellers does not have that. Is he good? Yeah. Is he a good thrower? Yes. He is not close to the processor that Jaden Daniels is. It's not close. But as a runner, Sellers is really special. Really special. Let's see here. The older I get, the better my long ball game gets, says Jared. So there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I will answer as many as I possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. You know, the Kyren stuff is what I want really everyone to take away from tonight's live stream. And if you didn't see everything that I went into regarding the situation, go back to, you can wait till it's over. You can rewind it to the beginning. it still hurts me. It's a pit in my stomach. It is a pit in my stomach. Okay. Okay. So, you know, this, I just got a message from someone in the family. I was confirming if the donation link is still correct. It is down below in the YouTube chat. It is down below. So if you're on Facebook, you can go over to the YouTube comment or the body text under the video. You might have to select more and it's there, but yeah, it's really tough. It's really, really, really tough. And yeah, I hope this creates a conversation about everything. Narratives. I mean, there's so much that needs to be discussed regarding this. And I went into pretty much everything, but I hope, as sad as it sounds, I hope this stays on our conscience for a very long time. I really do. Would I grow a beard for $25? So I did have a little bit of a scruffle going on. I never go more than a day without shaving. But, you know, I have coarse hair, so my beard itches really badly. It's also my head will itch when I grow my hair out. And for $25, would I grow a beard? I'll tell you this. I will grow a full Jordan Davis, James Harden level beard for $5,000. If you want it that bad, I will grow it out. You'll start calling me Quasimodo. Do you have a video on my background? No, this is not a video. This is actually me live in a helicopter surrounding tigers. No, it's a green screen. Look, a lot of you have liked the green screen. If you want me to go back to my backdrop, I actually prefer my old backdrop. Me personally, I like my old LSU backdrop. But so many of you have commented that it's cool to see the cathedral in the backdrop of my live chat. So there you go. Oh, my background in football. How do I know ball? Yeah, so we get new viewers. I've shared the story plenty of times. So it's interesting. So I shared the story about calling the game at Carius Kearns High School this past Friday. So also there was my high school defensive line coach. He was at the game. And I had a really good defensive line coach. He's really, really, really good. He's put guys in the NFL, which is rare from, you know, where I'm from. And then he's put a lot of guys into like D2 and D3 programs. And I wasn't good at football. And then he turned me into a good defensive tackle. And I was 5'8", 190. All right. So I knew for me to play any sport, I'm the slowest soccer starter in my high school's history. I had to know as much as I possibly could about the sport for me to succeed. And that's basically where my ball knowledge comes from. I was very lucky to have good coaches, like my coach, who ironically is named Jimmy Johnson, who you can make a case is the best football coach of all time. And then, you know, a lot of it is just being inquisitive. And this is what I would always say about every film study or live stream or anything, any story. There's always going to be more that you don't know than you do. All right. And that, you know, I'm tying as much as I could into like the Kyron Lacy situation. You know, there's so many things regarding that story that were insane. It was utterly insane that people out there would, people that work for law enforcement would do something like that. Like, so for us, there's always, regarding every single story, there's always going to be so many factors that we don't know about. And in football, it is so important to understand that, because there are so many things that happen on a football field that you don't know about. It goes all the way down to the meeting rooms, how it's instructed in the meeting rooms. So part of why I think I've had success with these film studies is that I try to be as honest as I can with the audience. There are plenty of people that do film study stuff that knows way more about football than I will ever know. I will ever know. But I try to be as entertaining and share as much knowledge as I possibly can. But I did not play at a high level. I did not. And I always want to hammer that home, because for two reasons. Number one, people that did play at that level will always know way more than me. And then number two, it's that you can just be a regular person and know all of this and know quite a bit about the game of football without ever actually playing. But I do believe that those that actually did play are going to have major advantages over someone that like me. So I always want to be honest about it, but I'm glad people do enjoy it. Like, I'm glad that there's, you know, I never thought I'd be doing weekly Oklahoma Sooner shows, and that there's people in Oklahoma that legitimately like it. The NFL people really like it. It's cool. And it's opened up a lot of doors for me, and anyone could do it. Anyone could do it. And I'm thinking about doing a course teaching people how to actually do this, because I want other people to try and do it. You're probably better at it than me. Oh, honestly, the reason why I said $5,000, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it does itch horribly my beard when it grows. Let's go to Chance. He is probably, I don't know, I think Chance, Tony the Tiger, I know Tony the Tiger probably has the highest hit rate of PHL live stream chats. Jared's up there. Sibley's up there. Carvis is up there. I appreciate each and every one of you. New or old. Okay. So the Garrett Nussmeier work ethic thing is something I addressed last week. I cannot with a gazillion percent certainty tell you that any player has put as much work as he possibly could into his craft outside of one. And it's part of why I'm such a big Jaden Daniels fan. All right. You know, this happens when you do this. And I shared this about someone in Kyron's circle. I became friends with them from this channel. And then someone in Jaden's circle is a fan of the channel as well. And he actually tweeted me a photo from a really premium, a video from a really premium seat at the Chargers game today. Okay. And he's been in the chat, and he's an awesome guy. And he would call me, say, "Hey Carter, Jaden's in there. He's putting in work." And we would talk weekly about, like, Jaden's work ethic and stuff like that. And it was interesting because he would see, like, when I was critical of Jaden, he was like, "Carter, his stuff is going to be fixed and he's going to be great." Like, so while I wasn't talking to Jaden directly, it was pretty clear that everyone at LSU was basically saying the same thing. And then someone independent of LSU but would know Jaden's daily regimen was telling me this. So Jaden was like blue collar, first one in, last one out. A lot of that's true, and it's also true in the NFL, and which is crazy because, you know, he's one of the 10 most popular NFL players right now. He's got the world at his fingertips, but he's about business. I I can't say that about Garrett Nussmeier because, well, I'm not as close to that orbit. Now, some of Garrett's folks do watch and support, and I appreciate that. I really do. But at the same time, I do think if you were to watch both of them play, where Jaden would be casual at times is deciding whether or not to go down. All right, he the only times you would ever see Jaden be casual and kind of reckless is his running in two different ways. He would run into big hits and leave his feet, and it would be stupid, right? It's lunacy. Tasmanian devil type of stuff. Like he jumped into the Mississippi State defender. He jumped into the Florida State defender. And it's a miracle he really didn't miss any time. And then he would get casual at times running into the end zone. But other than that, you know, it was strictly business from him. And there are times with Garrett that it's a little lackadaisical. Okay. I will also say that Jaden's bond between him and the wide receivers of LSU, in particular Kyren and Malik, was tight. You would really think that they were real brothers, okay? About as tight and as close as one could get. And you know, Garrett does not have that with these receivers. All right. He has a really good chemistry with Aaron, obviously, but it is a little bit different. It is a little bit different. And then, of course, the VR stuff. So there's been some comments about the virtual reality training. And it works. Like, it's different strokes for different folks, but I will tell you that let's use one other quarterback as an example, Talen Green. I know Talen Green's game pretty well. I break down his games every week. I've watched every single throw he's made at Arkansas. And Talen is way better than what he was last year at throwing. He has truly put in the work, and he did a lot of VR stuff, a lot. And it's worked. So how much VR stuff has Garrett done? I don't know. I can't get an answer to that. All right, so there's been some comments that maybe he just now started doing the VR stuff. I don't know. But it's a conversation really only Garrett and really only Garrett can answer that, how much work he's really put in. But to my understanding, it's that he has put in a good deal of work. Okay. But yeah, I don't want people to take that casual thing too far. But Garrett does play casually at times. And the thing is, what was Garrett's biggest strength, which is anticipating and trusting what he's seeing and being decisive with that, was Jaden's biggest weakness in 2022, where he would wait for the receiver to get wide open, or he would, when he would throw it, the anticipation, a lot of times it was when the ball wasn't really in any threat of being intercepted. And there was huge pros with that because he did not turn the football over, and Garrett would turn the football. Garrett turns the football over a lot. And then obviously the pros with Garrett is that those throws that you are able to anticipate with windows and all of that can be big throws and unlock certain aspects of your offense. Jared says JD was so light, the hits weren't that bad. Man, he took some shots. He's one of the toughest sons of gun you'll ever see, man. He's so tough. Kobe, I appreciate you, man. Look, I could do a 3-hour stream on the Kyron stuff. Like it enrages you, man. It really does. Like this will never leave me. There's some LSU stories that are very, very, very good that'll never leave you, and then there's some that stick with you for forever. And this one is definitely the one that I will think about for forever. Carter, who's in more trouble, LSU or Texas this season? Says Pegasus. Ooh. Right now, I would probably say Texas because they do have two losses and LSU only has one loss. So now we can get into which team has actually been better up to this point in the season. You can actually make a case that it is Texas, that they have been better than LSU. It's just Garrett's actually been good this year. Arch has been horrible. I think Garrett, at the very least, if you don't want to say good, you could say he's been mediocre to above average. Arch has been downright atrocious. Downright atrocious in every single game. For me. But if you want to get into which program is healthier, who of these two programs needs a playoff appearance more? There's no doubt in anyone's mind that the answer there is LSU. So there you go. Let's see, who was Sunday Night Football tonight? Oh, Patriots Bills. All right, y'all. Y'all want to get weird? Let's get weird. You guys always hear me say, I like my athletes thick. I like my football players thick. I like some meat on the bone when it comes to football. And, you know, I helicopter in highlight style. Don't watch it anymore. But I can't get over these college baseball hitters. I say college baseball, the MLB hitters. It's funny because my favorite baseball player, Derek Jeter, was not thick. He was big, huge, 6'3", 6'4", shortstop. But there was this guy named Cal Raleigh of the Mariners who had one of the best home run hitting seasons of all time. If he was playing 20 years ago, we would be looking at this guy like Mark McGwire. And he's got a dump. I mean, he has got some ass on him. I mean, just it's crazy. And then you get to Vlad Guerrero. Did y'all see this home run he hit today? They threw one right down the pipe, and he hit that thing all the way from Toronto to New York City. He's got one of those badonkadonk, like Trace Atkins used to sing about. The juvenile. What's sing about? I'm hitting all corners of the internet there. That Glorilla talks about. And then what do they look for at the NFL Combine? Well, there's a great story in The Athletic. It's helped me in my own player evaluations as well. If you got a dump truck, you got thick thighs, it's good for you when it comes to sports. Debo. Yes. Now Memphis. You want to get thick? Go move to Memphis. One order of those Central Barbecue pulled pork nachos, get it on the house chips, will gain you an extra 2 or 3 extra pounds. And I've lost a bunch of weight. I do want to say this is not a paid plug, but go right on ahead. Even though this company more so sponsors the Big Ten, which I find ironic. Okay. Chubby boy Carter coming back. I've been under 200 pounds. I doubt that's the case anymore because this week I discovered Baconators from Wendy's. Why has there never been a human being on the planet Earth that has told me about the Baconator? What the hell is this? Are you kidding? I can eat a Baconator every single day of my life and be happy with my life, period. If I was on death row, my final meal might be a sloppy number 2 from Wendy's. That sounded so bad. Obviously, I was trying to say the number 2 on the thing. And ironically, it's what normally comes after you finish a Baconator. But that's not the point. I don't care if it's not as well put together, dude. Those bacon, dude, the freaking Wendy's Baconator, the name, the branding, whoever came up with that in the meeting room, you're a genius. They wrote, yeah, we're going to get a cheeseburger and put more meat in it. Well, what kind of meat? Let's put some bacon. What are we going to call it? Oh, we can't call it a bacon double cheeseburger. That's basic as hell. It's too basic. We got to call it the Baconator. Whew. Love me a good Baconator. Now, that'll do it for me. Emotional live stream tonight. Emotional. I hope this was a good chat about this. Kick Booty says, I think LSU beats South Carolina. I have that feeling. There you go. You know, one thing I think that it separates LSU from some of these other programs, and I know I reference Tennessee a lot, and they haven't won anything big, but the thing I like about Tennessee is rarely do they come out and just play a bad game. You know, when they're playing a non-Power 4 team, they are beating them 76-3. When they don't play their best, they still find a way to win, or they find a way to at least be competitive. They're a good team. They are hard to blow out. You've really got to go out there and beat them. And they do a really good job of not beating themselves. And I really respect that about their program. I really, really, really do. And I just wish we had more of that, you know? I wish we did. So there you go. LSU. Let's get this dub, y'all. Let's get this mother effing dub. All right. Now, right now in the Discord, if you're a PHL patron, you get Discord access. I'm going to post one important thing about the South Carolina game that we'll talk more about on Tuesday, but I don't want to get into this too much. I'm ready to go sign off where my wife is going to chew my ass out about my Taylor Swift rant a little bit earlier. But thanks to all our top super chatters of the evening. No surprise here. John Sibley Butler, Jared chiming in as well, giving out memberships. Don't forget, I appreciate your donations to me. The Kyron Lacy Foundation link is down below. Let's see. Is there anything else? No, there's nothing else. Edis! Power Hour. LSU. Boom! Now, if you are dying for a film study review, go to Power Hour NFL. You could see my Jaden Daniels film review. And to me, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Argue with your mother. Tonight, we are doing meatballs. Let's go. Ha, ha, ha.